Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life. In the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, is rap music destroying black youth? Unfortunately, our guest, Mr. Maurice Heyman, will not be on the show today. He had some death in the family. So, I'm going to try and be as good as he would have been with his subject. So, moving along. Is rap music art imitating life, imitating art, some of both, or just a picture of how life is for some of us? Are the lyrics insightful, or have they been born out of violence, deprivation, and oppression of a community? Are the gods of the music industry perpetuating the negative aspects of rap music? Why are the airwaves dominated by gangster rap? How does rap music negatively impact on youth? What is rap music? Rapping is when an artist, called a rapper, tells a story by talking in a rhythmic poetic pattern with or without music. There are many forms of rap music: gangster rap, political rap, social rap, love rap, comic rap, ego rap, fantasy rap, etc. Theoretically, music and lyrics have a way of influencing and expressing the mood or feeling of an individual. An individual's mood or feeling has an impact on the thinking of the individual. The thinking impacts on behavior. Because rap music conveys an idea, and ideas are sometimes relevant and contagious, it is possible for someone's behavior to be influenced by the idea conveyed in a rap music or any idea conveyed in music and lyrics. Theoretically, an individual can gain attention, notoriety, fame, and fortune by incorporating or assimilating these ideas and behaviors into their being, be it a case of music imitating life or life imitating rap music. Are we really solely blaming rap music via gangster rap for the violence in our communities? If so, we are implying that the perpetuation of poverty, drugs, guns, unemployment, abuse by police officers, neglect by so-called political representatives have had no impact on the issue. Could rap music be the story about the impact these monsters have had in a community? The film industry has been exploiting gangland violence ever since Edward G. Robinson and James Cagney portrayed gangsters on the silver screen. Now violent gangs, grand theft auto, tour duty, etc., are commonplace. Violence, cage fighting, boxing, karate, and football have become a cultural phenomenon. Could the success of gangster rap be a reflection of a society's appetite for violence, or a symptom of what is ailing us, or at least some of us? American society has romanticized the gangster, aggression, and violence. The villain is sometimes the star of the show. Mainstream film also depicts women as subordinate, hypersexual individuals. Actors and actresses performing sexual acts on screen is commonplace in theater, television, cable, and videos. The debased attitude regarding sexual behavior is not just perpetuated in rap videos. Are we scapegoating rap music for the ills of our society? Is rap music a case of music imitating life, resulting in life imitating rap music? Question is, why so much gangster rap? What happened to that other stuff? Does rap put teens at risk? This is a study associated by Sid Kirschmer from WebMD Archives, March 2003. Teens who spent more time watching the sex and violence depicted in the real life of gangster rap music videos are more likely to practice these behaviors in real life, suggests one of the first studies to specifically explore how rap videos influence emotional and physical health. According to the study, 522 black girls between the ages of 14 and 18 from non-urban, lower socioeconomic neighborhoods, researchers found the girls who viewed the gangster videos for at least 14 hours per week were far more likely to practice numerous destructive behaviors. Okay, so I'm going to just run that back again. We have callers already, so we're going to take caller 8130. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
What's going on? How you doing?
Hello? All right, how you doing?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm doing all right. My name is Anthony Figueroa, but I also go by Obsidian. That's my stage name. I'm actually a hip-hop artist from Memphis, Tennessee, and a political activist for indigenous Mexicano, Chicano, and black rights.
Okay.
First, I wanted to address the fact that you're correct about this. But I think people need to realize that it's an underlying timeline that led up to all this that goes all the way back to Eurocentric colonialism, indigenous people around the world. And, you know, how they've influenced us through slave culture, you know, our slave culture in ways that we... In ways that we decided to revolt, resist, and survive through colonialism, we've also taken pieces of that slave culture and held on to them as if they were our own cultures. Hence the use of the N-word still being prevalent in the African community. Even right. The use of African American as a label, which I don't agree with the use of the term, but I'm not going to tell, you know, black people how to do their thing because I'm not black, I'm brown. But, you know, even the use of that, I kind of, you know, look at it as a colonial influence, a label from a colonial entity, you know, labeling a people. I don't use the term Latino or Hispanic for my people, et cetera. So within hip hop,
right.
We've we've drawn this image of ourselves through the depiction of what our of what the people before us who were struggling went through and how they survived oppression and certain things that they fell into through what the media and what white supremacy influenced them to do, such as in the 60s and 70s, we saw the brown and black man, you know, start to dress more like, how do I put it, flamboyant, dress more flamboyant and, you know, more expensive attire, more expensive taste, more expensive look. They wanted everything the white man had because it is a thing of white supremacy. You know, the white man has this, I'm going to have this. You know, the white man does this, I'm going to do this. Let's look at Italian mobster culture, for instance, which a lot of the gangster culture emulates and references Italian mobster culture. You know, right. Look at the use of even hip-hop names. Like here in Memphis, there's a rapper named Al Capone. You know, there's artists out there calling themselves, you know, Gotti and stuff like that. You know, so
right. All
of these Murder Inks and everything that came about came from an extension of white supremacy, you know, being that that brown kid in the front of the TV watching the mobster flicks and saying, hey, that's what I can be. That's power. That is power.
Right.
They didn't see power in being connected to your roots and your ancestry. They didn't see power in being connected to your indigeneity, to the land, to the earth, to your women, you know. And with that, over time taught us to treat our women with disrespect, look at our women as commodities and possessions instead of our life bringers, instead of our queens, you know.
Right.
Look at each other as enemies, look at our brothers as enemies, you know. And it came through, as you see in gang violence. I believe it was, the founder of the Crips. I don't know his name on the top of my tongue right now.
Tookie.
Tookie. He said that because of white supremacy's divide and conquer tactics in the black and brown communities, the same concept of self-hate being projected onto your brother. And that's basically,
right.
You know, how we view each other, even in hip-hop. Yes, a competitive sport, you know, to some extent. But it's also become so violent-oriented that I remember back in when I was a kid, you know, I'm kind of young, so I can't say back whenever, you know, this really started or anything because, you know, I'm only 22, so I can't. but I remember looking at artists like, you know, KRS-One, you know, pull off the whole bridge thing. You remember when that happened? And,
mm-hmm.
You know, when that popped off, nobody came up to the, you know, to the sets with guns, pop, 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 shooting each other, going crazy. You know, it was competition. It was healthy competition. But now
right. It's
become very brutal and very violent. And it become more about, you know, it's just, I don't know. This is very, I guess, self-hate oriented now. It's very lateral violence oriented. It's just what it is, you know. And the unfortunate thing is there's a black and white issue that people are looking at that isn't there. There's a gray area. I mean, it's there, but it's a gray area that people aren't realizing, you know, and that gray area holds over 515 years of, you know, trained cognitive dissonance on our people, 515
right.
years of trained depression and, you know, teaching us to view ourselves and our people in a certain light. And now I want to point this out, because it's a weird phenomenon that's happening. Who are the main people now starting to buy urban hip-hop records? People of color anymore. It's white people, too. So they're
right.
starting to pick this up, and they're trying to emulate something. And what that does is it continues a stereotype of what it is to be urban or what it is to be from the inner city or what it is to be ethnic in any way. So you got white people, when they think of pretending to be black or pretending to be, you know, urban or anything like that, they are trying to emulate a stereotype. They're not emulating actually an intelligent black man who spent his years staying away from gang culture, staying away from drugs,
right,
treating his women with respect,
right,
treating women with respect, treating his sister and his mother the same way he would treat his woman, you know, et cetera.
Right.
You know, they don't see that. They see world star hip hop.
Okay, well, you know, that image is being, you know, flashed all over the waves, the airwaves, the videos and things like that, right?
Right.
And they're seeing these images at very young ages, you know what I'm saying? And they, and a lot of kids have these cell phones where they, these images are available to them 24/7.
Right.
So,
exactly,
as I said earlier, who's perpetuating, because the gangster rap's not the only kind of rap. So who's perpetuating that this gangster rap? Why does everything have to be about the worst of us?
Right.
Why so much of that?
It's
why do you think about, what do you think about that? Who's perpetuating that?
Well, first of all, we got to look at the corporations, the labels. The corporations that own the labels, they don't know anything about hip hop. They don't know anything about what they're selling. They just know that they're going to sell something. Most of them are these, and I don't want to be sound anti-Semitic or anything here, but most of them are European Jews that own a corporation and decide to buy a record label or start a record label. It does make a lot of money. And
these people
decide, I want to put this artist out. Have you put this artist out? And he's going to rap about stuff that's flashy, catches the eye, et cetera. The marketing team gets together. They're like, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They put the person out there, and these kids see it. They cling on to it. It becomes trendy, et cetera. That's how it usually goes down. But once in a while,
right,
you'll have an artist that comes through and breaks through that is revolutionary, such as Kendrick Lamar. I'll throw that out there.
Right.
Even he has fell into the a couple of times has fell into the misogynistic role. The
right,
you know, but
he's
then again,
bread,
he also comes
producer
from. What was that?
He's breaking bread with the guys of the music world.
Yeah, exactly. Got to
do
exactly
something they want. He got to give up
something
to get what he wants.
Exactly. And, you know, even artists
right,
like, I respected Immortal Technique, for instance, you know, as an artist.
Okay.
But even he falls into the, you know, category from time to time. He's not even a part of a, you know, he's not even a part of a corporate, necessarily corporate label. He's got his own label, Viper Records, you know. Of course, I'm not 100% what goes on behind Viper Records. I'm not insinuating that it is 100% independent or if it's 100, or if there's any, you know, label, you know, corporate label intervention in that. I'm not sure. I'm not going to, you know, make any assumptions about that. But you never know. But Immortal Technique has even fallen into that, you know, a couple of times. Even, you know, one thing, if you don't mind me addressing, within hip-hop that I noticed is becoming more of a slowed-down process. I mean, it's something that's being more brought to light.
Hold up for 1 minute, excuse me. We got a caller on 54. I want you to hold on, but after this statement, I'm going to grab you on the show, 54. Go ahead, Ant.
All right, so,
yes,
you know, since, like, the show Love & Hip Hop and other, you know, other things have been brought into light, even homosexuality has been fun. Now, I'll say this. Another thing about the anti-colonial sentiment that I made earlier is there are other elements of colonialism that are very present within our communities in general that are also very present in hip-hop, one being Christianity,
right,
very, very influential within hip-hop, you know, and that is a colonial aspect of, you know, what has been forced on us, homophobia. is another one that's been forced on us, and patriotism for, you know, a colonial system such as the United States is very present within, you know, hip hop. So what I'm seeing a lot of right now is people are seeing, if you go on YouTube and you just look up, if you look up gay rappers to see if there are any gay successful hip hop artists, and I've done this.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you look to see if there are any successful gay hip hop artists, and you just type in gay hip hop artist, gay rapper. All you're going to see for the first couple pages is Illuminati expose, satanic devil worship. You know, this is exposed gay rapper. They're feminizing our youth. They're feminizing our people. You see a lot of that, and it's like it becomes overwhelming because it's like not only is it a huge element of homophobia and colonially induced Christianity, but it's also a lot of fear of things that aren't actually happening, that are actually there, and it becomes mixed in with things that are actually happening. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you're saying that whole Illuminati scare is not real, and you know that's what you're saying. That whole thing about the Illuminati and worshiping the devil and whatever.
I think there are things that are there that are real. There's real elements to what they're saying, but I think a lot of the Christian influence in it, and a lot of the there's a lot of colonial influence in what they're saying because they're still holding on to a part of slave culture that they're unwilling to unhook themselves from in order to see the actual problem that lies behind these specific issues. You know, if they could look past
the
deal, they could stop. Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you to hold on. I'm going to put 54 War now. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Sorry for the wait, the delay. Hello. 5054?
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm here. What's going
Welcome
on?
To Provocative Thought. All right, how you doing?
Good, how you doing? This is Kane Loso from Glassboro, New Jersey.
How you doing, brother?
Cooling. I know I was hearing the topic, man, about how music is affecting our youth. Wanted to chime in.
Okay.
All right. Pretty much, man. How is it affecting our youth, man? I mean, honestly, you got so much going on. I mean, myself, I went from secular to gospel rap, so my whole style changed just from making that whole 360, like, and going from two different types of styles to genres. So, and plus, I'm young. I'm only 23, so. You know, I get to see firsthand how it's affecting the young people. Like, you know, you got the big guys up on the pedestal. They make it look nice. They make it look easy, you know, and they make it, I mean, pretty much like the devil working. You know, he wants you to see that nice, shiny apple, you know, whatever. But it's not like that, you know, and young people get it twisted. It's always a message in all that music. In every piece of music that's dropped on the airwaves, there is a secret message, a hidden message. So you really got to watch what you're listening to because you don't know what you're, you know, letting get inside your soul, getting inside your mind, what you're taking in, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's pretty deep, like, you know, and it's crazy that gangster rap and, you know, different genres of music is just taking over the young people, you know, then they out here thinking that it's okay to shoot, it's okay to fight, it's cool to go to jail. You know, they praising them things when they shouldn't be on the type of music that's coming out today. And that's how it's really affecting our youth. You know, they think it's okay to be a goon, a gangster, you know, and, you know, do all these bad things or whatever. Because, I mean, I was in the field for a little bit, but thank God, you know, I changed it around and, I mean, I got into gospel rap, and I actually became a better rapper than I was doing secular music.
Okay. Okay, so basically, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. What was you going to say?
No, so basically, you're saying that rap music, particularly gangster rap, has a negative impact on you, period, right?
Yeah, it has a big negative impact on the youth, like.
Right. It has a subliminal message.
Yes. a deep subliminal message, you know, and you know they got those things on YouTube where they say, you know, play it backwards and see what a song right. says, you know, and you got those things on YouTube and people is feeding into that, and, you know, you got the Illuminati plagiarizing those things also and making it their thing also, but that's how it's affecting our youth, you know, and we got to keep our youth grounded. We got to keep them into something positive, like, you know, that gospel rap, that inspirational music, you know, listen to things that's going to build you up instead of steering you the wrong way.
What's your name again, brother?
Name's Kanan. They also call me Kane Lil, so I'm a gospel rapper.
That's what's up, man. So if you don't mind me asking, and when I ask this question, please don't take this as a challenge to you as an individual person, but I'm going to ask
yeah.
the question just, you know, because since we are on the topic of, you know, negative influence on the youth, of course, from your perspective as a gospel artist and as a Christian, I'm assuming a Christian,
yeah.
you know, you see that as a positive influence. But for somebody like me who, you know, does come from the anti-colonial front and sees Christianity as more of a tool that has been used by Europeans to conquer and divide us from our original indigenous cultures and our you know, spiritualities and our way of life for 515 years, and you know, Christianity has persecuted us to that extent. You know, would, you know, could we technically say that Christianity is no better of an influence than gangster rap being, you know, influenced? And I mean, use as influence in hip hop, especially with like a lot of negative connotations, like homophobia, you know, et cetera.
I mean, I don't want to say I'm a Christian, but you know, I wouldn't say that it's better than anything. I believe God is my savior, is, and my job is to only give the option, you know. To give an option to you to cross over and accept God as your savior. Like, I'm only a messenger, and that's why I use music. You know, I don't go through the. I'm not a shepherd. You know, I'm not somebody that goes out and try to, you know, give the word.
You're not like a Jehovah's Witness or anything.
You feel me? So, you know, I use the music to spread my message. That's how. I use the key. That's my key to spreading the word. So, I mean, to that question, I would say it would be a no for me. You know, I keep it positive, and I go from what I've learned about. It's not just gospel rap. You know, it's my life stories. It's what I've gone through. It's inspirational. It's a build-up. It's not just, I don't want to put it, I say gospel rapper because it makes it easy to explain what I do, but I also don't want to be put in that box that's the only thing that I talk about. Not every song is God, God, God. You know, I can also explain what I've been through, my life story, what's about to happen, what I'm going through, past tense, anything, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, no, I wouldn't say that my music, I can't speak for anybody else, but I wouldn't say that my music is just for the gospel people, you know, it's not that type of wave that I'm on.
Right.
Anybody could get touched by a track that I drop, you know, I plan to touch hearts and minds. They believe in something else, I can't say nothing about that.
Right.
I'm not here to judge, or I'll be judged.
I have another question for both of you, actually. I'm assuming that the host of this show, that you are a fan of hip-hop. Am I correct about that, or am I incorrect about that?
A fan of hip-hop? Yes, I heard some hip-hop songs that I like. Yeah, I used to be a rapper myself a long time ago. So.
Okay. So I guess this question, you know, I guess it could still be for both of you. Now, I'm a big fan of not just the showcasing entertainment and theatrics behind, you know, a lot of hip-hop performance, but I'm also a fan of the intellectual skill set that an MC needs in order to be able to, you know, showcase his lyrical side as well. And that includes, you know, specifically artists like Slaughterhouse, who I'm a big fan of, you know, artists like that, who I consider to be, and yeah, they fall into a lot of lines of misogyny and, you know, the things that I don't approve of, but they're also some of the most dominant lyricists in hip-hop. So I have to, you know, ask, can we have uplifting forms of hip-hop that shed light and intelligence to our audience in the mainstream? Because we already have it in the underground. I can, you know, name off plenty of artists in the underground who are good references. But in the mainstream, commercial-wise, could we possibly see someone who is uplifting, lyrical, and doesn't fall into the rape culture, the misogynistic culture, the homophobia, the perpetuation of lateral violence, etc.?
I mean, you can name a couple artists right now that have switched the whole game up. I mean, you got J. Cole, you got Chance the Rapper, you got Lecrae, all mainstream rappers that are about a positive image now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that don't at all, 100%, they don't fall into those labels at all. Like, without, like we mentioned earlier, breaking bread with, you know, the industry, you know, giving a little bit of this, a little dash salt of misogyny here. You know, we'll let a little bitch and hoe slide over here. We'll let a little, this slide over here, a little faggot slide over here. You know, call something gay to, make a negative, impact on it. You know, a little of that here and a little bit of that there, and then throw a bunch of, positive influence over it, as if you didn't just call, a woman yo bitch, or call, them a thot or this or that, because even those artists that you named do from time to time use that type of language that can be considered abusive in industry, and who can be considered abusive in our community. But
right. In society, right? Right.
Right.
So your question is, can we promote an artist, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about, right? This promotion, this record and distribute his material, right, through the mainstream. Who's the we you're talking about? Because at first you said the industry is controlled by, as you said, some Jewish guys, right?
Right. Not all the labels are controlled by those guys, but I'm saying I don't want to generalize to that extent, but there is a majority rule there of your centric power, controlling most of the labels, the corporations that own the labels mostly.
Okay. But first, we need to figure out who are the people, no matter what color they are, who are willing, right, to get behind a guy or a girl, right, who has something
right.
positive to say and put it out there. Take a gamble that people are going to buy that record. Right? Who are those guys? Those guys exist. Who might they be?
Who knows? It could be anybody. It could be anybody at this point. I'm saying, as a community, can we rally behind it? I'm saying in hip hop, the community that is hip hop, can we, push an artist or a set of artists that have that, and push them into mainstream success? Because if you want to be real, the people have the power behind all of that. Only reason
that's true.
That is seemingly in the hands of the corporations and the labels is because the people are the ones that are allowing that power to be in the possession of the corporation, because they are not speaking up for themselves as an entity. They're speaking up for themselves individually. This person over here is like, nah, man, I'd rather hear Lil Yachty, or Uzi Vert. This person over here is like, man, they're whack. I want to hear Shoot Stream, from Dayton Family over here, keep it local, Detroit. this person over here, nah, we're going to bump Cole and Kendrick. Over here is like, nah, Horseshoe Gang, Slaughterhouse, et cetera. You know, so many people, there's so many little groups, it's so divided, nobody can come together and be like, you know what? We can put our pride and our preferences aside for just a little bit and promote better for our community, because it's become more about entertainment and personal interest than it has been about community interest and collective interest. It's not necessarily a political, you know, tool like it was back in the 60s and 70s, you know, in the early 80s. You know, people used to utilize it in a different way than they do now.
Right, but they didn't. Those people weren't as successful as the people now who are maybe lyrically less talented or have less positive message to convey to the over the airways. But they're becoming like, I heard one song. Guy was talking. Somebody was talking about a girl that a dancer who and she whatever about her sexuality and how she got it going on and something anyway. But she doesn't like men. But she's shaking her, you know, stuff in it. It was, you know, maybe that's a skill to do that, you know what I'm saying? But and he was just talking about basically a go-go stripper, you know, and a rap, you know. And I'm not saying that situation, that scenario doesn't really exist or not, because some of the things these guys are rapping about, whether you like it or not, are a reflection of some of the things they've experienced or seen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You did? Right.
Yeah,
so, you know, like,
yeah.
I remember the movie about N.W.A., Ice Cube was telling him about, you know, like, why he wrote some of the things that he wrote in the movie. You know, basically, like, he said a song about, he said, fuck the police. Now, somebody
right.
might hear that and say, oh, these guys are just, they're unruly, disrespectful, right? They're causing a riot, like they said, try to say in the movie, causing people, inciting riots and things like that. But they had a bad experience in with the California where's he from? He's from Compton or Los Angeles police officers. And if you know the history of the Los Angeles Police Department, they have a history of being aggressive toward the black community and Latino community.
But I think the people that rallied behind Fuck the Police had more in mind of the effect that it was gonna have, you know, controversially as well. Which is why it became such a commercial success when it did, and which is also why the FBI intervened and why society became, like, massively, you know, mind-fucked by what N.W.A. released. And you know, hip-hop back then was not as much of a commercial success as in 2017. So, you know, I guess it's a matter of time and element. But if Fuck the Police came out today, people would be like, ah, yeah, whatever. You know, Fuck the Police. We heard it a million times. You know, yeah, we get it. It's on every song on the radio now, Fuck the Police, you know. But back then in the time, it was like, what the hell? You know, nobody spoke out. You know, we need something again that no one's saying. You know, and that's, I think, a blueprint for what the community needs. And I think they knew in the back of their mind, subconsciously at least, if not consciously, that's what the community needed, was to hear Fuck the Police come from a black youth on a microphone who was unafraid or seemingly unafraid of the consequences for saying that.
Okay, so I'm again, back to get behind people, because it really, if you want to get something over the airwaves, it takes money. So now I talked to a friend of mine about the business, and he said basically guys are coming with the positive rap, they're getting shot down. Give us something else. Until they come up with something crazy, then that's the stuff that these you know, companies are pushing out there. Is that true? What's the truth about that? Is that true? That if even if you come with that type of, you know, something positive,
again,
you're getting shot down. A lot of guys getting shot down.
Again, there's a gray area again. It's not always black and white. You know, sometimes an artist will come in and, you know, who knows, that artist may have something positive to say, but they may have copped an attitude with the people. They may not have been cocky, you know, or copped an attitude with the people that they're trying to, you know, get across to. Or they could have not had the right following behind them. they might not have enough people promoting them, you know, pushing them and their image. They might not seem marketable in other ways, because if they see an individual who's marketable in a way that's going to make them money, it don't matter if they're going to be on the record cussing or not. You know, if it's going to make them money, you know, that's what they, that's their main concern. So to find a way to make a person marketable but also positive, that's the key. I mean, take Lil Yachty, for example. This guy, he's young. He's not all that talented. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to shit on him. I'm just, you know, being honest from my personal, you know, perspective. He's not top-notch on a lyrical scale. That's for sure. His delivery is very peculiar, but is beloved by this generation. He's a commercial success. But he also had on, like, he also talks about equality and all this, you know, social equality. But again, he also talks about, you know, I got money, I got bitches, da 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 da, and he has potential. Because he's reached enough of the youth, he has the potential to spread a good message. It's just he doesn't. And we need someone who's willing.
Is it
to
up
spread
to him?
That
that's the question. Is it up to him though? Is it solely up to these rap artists to do what they want to do, produce whatever song they want to do, have that on their album? Do they have that kind of power?
It's up to the people.
It's up to who, the producers, the record company, what? What are you saying?
It's up to the people, the community behind it.
So it's up to the community. If they don't buy it, what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? If they don't, if we stop buying bitches and hoes and niggas and kill people
mm-hmm.
and selling dope, then they'll stop putting it out. That's what you're talking about, right? Supply and
it's
demand,
not
right?
Overnight.
If there's no demand for
it's
it,
not,
they will cease to produce it. Is that what you're saying?
It's not going to happen overnight, but that's pretty much the only way I see it. Unless the industry has a change of heart, which I highly doubt that's going to happen. That's the only way I can see a game changer there. You know, and of course, there are other elements. If we had more artists that made their way in, got their foot in the door, like say Kendrick and J. Cole, who have used, you know, again, slight negative aspects of, you know, of imagery to, you know, or negative depictions and language within their music. And me, I've used negative. I'm not, my hands are not clean. You know, I've dabbled in, you know, the bitch and the hoe and all this stuff in my past as a hip hop artist as well. But I also know that if I did that for long enough and I had the commercial success, and say I would have got famous in 2012, in 2017, I would have had at least enough fan base if I was successful. I would have had a good enough fan base that had enough trust in me and had enough, I would have had enough influence and grasp on a healthy amount of people that I'd be able to express a different style or different message to those people, and I would already have that success backing me. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the option too, and or both of them really play a part. So, you know, not option A and option, you know, B, but more like they both have, you know, elements that are necessary about them. You know, supply and demand. And, you know, infiltration.
Okay, so we got some guys that have been successful with the whole gangster thing, like Dr. Dre did. So
right.
Why do you think he's still gangster rapping?
Because that's what people still want. The supply and demand still is, you know, cocked over to the gangster rap and to the violence. Because it's shocking. You know, we're in a generation now where people are very defiant. We're the defiant generation. You know, 60s and 70s, was a defiant generation. Then it became, you know, throughout the 80s, there's still some defiance, and the defiance died out like the 90s. There was like this weird resurgence of, we'll just have fun. Let's have fun. It's early 2000s, it was all dancing and, you know, everything. And it became even more defiant again, you know, over time. So it's, we're still in this era of defiance, you know, against everything. People are angry. People are, you know, they don't want to hear positivity because they're angry. They're negative-minded at this moment, and rightfully so within the society we're living in, if you look around. You know, so it's going to be hard to sell, you know, this type of stuff to people, you know. But I'm going to propose something, and don't get me wrong. I see violence as a negative when it's in a lateral motion. But
as compared to what other kind of motion?
Violence is also a necessity and a part of human life. So I do actually promote violence in my music to some extent, out of defense.
And then
defense
violence in the name of what?
Resistance, revolt, revolution, guerrilla warfare, etc. I promote, and I know other artists that have such promotion of resistance in a violent format. You know, and in such a way to convey saying, no, we're not saying go out with a gun and start shooting up cops on the streets right now. You know what I mean? But
right,
there will be a time where that may be a possibility where you have to. And just know who the enemy is. Know that you live in a colonial system of white supremacy. Know that the government is your enemy. Know the United States is your enemy. Know that their tactics are violent, so you may have to be violent in order to defend yourself. I am a strong believer in the tactics of the Black Panthers, the Brown Berets, American Indian Movement, the Young Lord Movement, the Zapatistas, and Chiapas, Mexico, the Oka Resistance, and Kanasatake in Canada. I am a big, you know, supporter of guerrilla warfare for resistance against colonial occupation and white supremacy. And I do put that in my music. So there are artists out there that do that, including artists like Savage Family, who are very unknown. You know, to even the underground scene, they are very unknown outside of their specific cause. They're very well known in the resistance, in the anarchist community, the indigenous rights community. They're very well known in those specific circles. But outside of that, they're unknown. But they do promote violence against the system.
Mm. That's interesting. The last group of people, that you're talking about white supremacy and things like that. So do you think that any white supremacist that's awake would allow that type of product to be going over the airwaves for kids to grow up with that idea, have a revolution against us? Do you think that they would allow that?
You could look at it from a couple different views. That white supremacists might see it as an opportunity to start a race war. So they might be like, yeah, let them, you know, let those people do what they're going to do. It'll just make it sooner for us to be able to kick their ass, you know, which that's what they think they're going to do regardless. They're armed.
Right.
That's the thing. They're armed regardless. They're ready to kill us. They want us dead. They want us gone. They don't want us here. They made it very apparent. They've made it clear. They've said it in interviews on the news. We want to eradicate people of color, send them back to Africa, send them back to Mexico, kill the Indians, bury them all, confine them to reservations, concentration camps. You know, they say it all the time. They want us dead. And you see them on the news in the NRA clubs and everywhere with their open carry, you know, rifles on their back, their militias, patriotic militias. You see them all over the place. So they're there regardless, you know. But to your question, more to your question, I would say that they may not allow it, but they're not the only ones present. And in fact, most of the control of the media today is becoming more relinquished into the hands of the liberal public. So we're seeing a lot more being discussed as terms of white supremacy and white privilege and white guilt and things like that. We're seeing a lot of those topics be on MTV, you know, show up on MTV, on the radio, et cetera. We're seeing a lot of this because of the liberal stronghold on the media and Tumblr, social media, et cetera. So they may actually allow such a thing to be heard. Who knows? In the future, they may say, hey, maybe the people need to hear this, you know, and if we can infiltrate, who knows what we could do, you know. There are tactics to have to make anything possible, and I think that it would come in time. It may not happen in the next year, but I think it would happen in time. And for all we know, in the next couple of years, we might hear Savage Family on the radio. You never know. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Okay. All right, that's very interesting, you know, because you're saying you just need more positive hip-hop records, and positivity helps everybody, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's at the corner store, the corner, the bus stop, the gym, the locker room, wherever, right? Visiting somebody in the house, positive energy is always better than negative energy. We can agree on that, right?
We could agree with that. But I mean, I would replace the word positive. Well, I see it also as a positive thing. But a positive is also a perspective-based, I guess, word, very perspective-oriented. You know, what's positive to us, you know, what's positive to me may not be positive to you. And what's positive to both of us may not be positive to a white supremacist that want to see us fall. You know what I'm saying? So
we ain't talking about white supremacists. We just on this level right here. We're not talking about appeasing anybody who's trying to exploit us, the negative aspects or what they view as negative aspects of our lives through all gangster rap. Oh, we have another caller, 4727. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on, man. Yeah, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
All right, man. Yeah, I wanted to get the brother's name so I could check out his music, man. He says some interesting things. I've only been listening for the past 10 to 15, but the brother says some interesting stuff, man.
Which one?
As far
Payne
as the music
or Anthony?
Thing, the brother who
Which
is
brother?
Speaking.
Oh,
speaking right now?
Right before I called him.
Okay.
What's going on,
bro?
Yeah, I go by Obsidian Kid. You can find me on SoundCloud if you want to check out my music. It's just Obsidian Kid.
Okay, cool. I do that, man. The one thing I just wanted to throw out there, though, as y'all, you know, do the show, and good work with the show, host, whoever you are, good
Thank
job
you.
With the show. You know, it's important
Thank
to
you,
talk
man.
About these things. Yeah, the one thing I would say, though, is being the old folks scolding young people about their music. Because music is always driven by the culture and the society and the conditions people are living in. So, I mean, like, I was born, I'm probably around you guys' age, so I was born when hip-hop went from disco stuff to where we had native tongues and African medallions and all that everywhere.
Right.
And then once the conditions in the communities changed, meaning the high unemployment rate and that black market
right.
trade of you know, drugs and people fighting over the turf, then the music got more aggressive. Then the music turned into something else. But I think we got to be careful to make sure we don't blame the music and not the actual conditions, which are created by this country based on redlining, racism, and everything else the brother was getting into. So I think we let them off the hook sometimes when we go too hard on the young folks. If you're
right.
in your 30s, you're not supposed to understand what the young folks are talking about. Like, it's not being made for us. Like, honestly, we always got to remember that part, too. And if we go back through some of our discography or put in some – grab your MP3 player, put your kids in the car and play some stuff you listened to as a teenager and see how quick you turn it off. You know what I mean? So we've got to remember that, too. But, yeah, okay. Salute, though, man. Good show, man.
Thank you.
I like the fact that he threw me into the old head. Like, he assumed that I was from that era too, and that actually, you know, I'm not offended by that at all, because I do,
right,
you know, feel more oriented in that. But I am actually 22 years old. I'm more of a millennial generation byproduct. You know,
right. It's okay. Doesn't matter. You don't have to apologize.
Yeah,
for that.
Well, I've read articles, sir. Y'all are ruining everything. Every week, a new article comes out says y'all millennials. So I just want to hold you responsible for that. But no, respect. That means you've hung around some elders, so I get it.
Right.
Okay, so we need some. I hope some people from the industry are listening. That are people who are, you know, trying to break into the industry, and maybe slowly but surely you can slip a song in there that has a message, something that somebody can grow on, and something that won't bury somebody or hold somebody out, you know, get somebody hooked on a drug or selling drugs. We hope to send a more positive message to the people who are listening and are influenced by rap music, gangster rap music. And unfortunately, some of this stuff happens to some or lesser extent in the community. You know, this is entertainment, and I'm sure some of this stuff is embellished, and, you know, just like the movie industry. We have to keep in mind that we live in a society that perpetuates violence and sexuality. Those two things sell. So, you know, those are the two major marketing items that they're using in society to sell things. You know, they use a pretty girl to sell the car. You rarely see a person that's unattractive on an advertisement. Am I right? Hello?
Definitely,
man. Definitely. I mean, now you're hitting up against one of the stronger problems that we're talking about, the drug of all drugs, which is capitalism, which decides everything is a consumer product and everything has to be marketed as such. And we determine people by something we call net worth. And we talk about how much people are worth, and don't even get the, you know, psychological significance of it. We'll say such and such is worth $30 million, man.
Right. And that's all you see. That's all you see is $30 million or more. So it's a narcissistic
these guys wake up in the morning with their suits on already, you know, and looking. Like, that's how I picture these cats that wake up in the morning. They got their suit already done, their tie's already done, and, you know, it's all nice and pressed. They woke up like that, looked into the mirror, and they're like, you know, I'm going to sell a penny to a group of pennies today. You know, like what they're going to do. They know it.
Yeah, man. And with all the so-called net worth or whatever you want to call it, when Steve Jobs got sick, he got the most advanced medical care you could pay for. It didn't help. He went to homeopathic care. It didn't help, because he's just a person, man. That net worth and all that doesn't. He got two lungs, one heart, and I mean, just like any other human. So this capital function, like, that's the biggest problem to me, because we're in a system basically playing a monopoly game where the majority of the property has already been allocated, majority of wealth has already been allocated, and then everybody's saying, "What's wrong with y'all?" You know what I mean? Right. So we've been robbed decade after decade. And
I think we start
to internalize it before you know it. So, you know.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We have about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you guys for calling in. Both you guys and the brother that hung up, Mr. Kanan. I don't know if he's still listening or not. I want to thank everybody for calling. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. And as always, I want to thank the creator for allowing me to be. I want everybody to please listen in to next week's show. We're going to have a brother on talking about the school system. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. That wasn't bad. I didn't even get through this stuff.